Thank you for listening to this sermon from Seven Springs Presbyterian Church. If you want to learn more about us, please find us on Facebook or visit us at sevenspringspresbyterian.com.
A gracious and most merciful Father, we come before you with thanksgiving upon our hearts for all that you have done and accomplished for us through Christ Jesus, your Son. Lord, that he is the Word, the life, the truth. And Lord, let us grasp and fathom the depths of grace which has been so lavished upon us through Christ Jesus. And Lord, let us receive your word as the Bereans did in Acts chapter 17. Let us do so with all eagerness. And let us also examine the scriptures daily to be able to see that what is preached to be proclaimed is true. Lord, let us rest not in the words of man, but in the words given through man that speak of the man, Christ Jesus, the ones breathed out by you from above. Lord, let us put our faith and our hope and our trust in your word and your word alone. Fill us with your spirit to help accomplish this, we pray in Christ's holy and blessed name. Amen. Hear now the word of the Lord from Psalm 99. This is God's holy, inerrant, life-giving word. Please take heed how you hear. The Lord reigns. Let the peoples tremble. He sits enthroned upon the cherubim. Let the earth quake. The Lord is great in Zion. He is exalted over all the peoples. Let them praise your great and holy, great and awesome name. Holy is he. The king in his might loves justice. You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt the Lord our God. Worship at his footstool. Holy is he. Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel also was among those who called upon his name. They called to the Lord, and he answered them. In the pillar of the cloud he spoke to them. They kept his testimonies and the statute that was he gave them. O Lord our God, you answered them. You were a forgiving God to them, but an avenger of their wrongdoings. Exalt the Lord our God, and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our Lord will stand forever. Each of these king psalms speak of one major theme: that God reigns over all, that God reigns supreme. But each of these psalms, from 93 onwards until 99, but even Psalm 100 speaks of his reign as well. Each of these psalms has a different approach, a different attribute, a different focus of what this God who reigns and who he is. Psalm 99 particularly focuses on God's holiness in his reign. You see that at the end of each stanza there in verse 3. He is holy. Holy is he. In verse 5, holy is he. At the end of verse 9, God is holy. That God is the God who is holy, who reigns throughout all and over all. And so now we look at this in these three parts to be able to understand God's holiness and over his reign. To begin with, we see in the first three verses there that the holy God who reigns over all creation, the holy God who reigns over all creation. You see that there at the very beginning, the Lord reigns. That here God sits in Zion, reigns over all of his creation. That a part of who he is and what he has made. God is king over all kings, Lord over all lords. He reigns over all people. He reigns over all earth and all of heaven. You see, even at the end of verse 2, he exulted over all peoples. That here we see the great and glorious truth that God reigns over all of his creation. We see this throughout all of his scripture, that nothing comes by chance, but everything comes from his fatherly hand. Providence, his sovereignty. He reigns over all. You see, this connection is his holiness and his reign. The song that is sung throughout the throne room of heaven, day in and day out. Isaiah speaks of it in Isaiah chapter 6 as the seraphim sit around with their eyes covered as they sing, "Holy, holy, holy." This song on repeat time and time again. You see it again in Revelation chapter 4, verse 8 to 11. As these four living creatures, with each of them six wings, their eyes around and within, and day and night, they never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Day in and day out, they see these two things in unison. Not only that God is holy, 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 but God is also the Lord Almighty. That he reigns with his holiness, with his execution of judgment, as we will see. The 24 elders who fall down and worship him also explain that he is worthy. "Worthy are you," they explain in verse 11. "Our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." Again, we see God over all creation, reigning supreme, the holy God, the perfect God, reigning over his creation. The second thing that we see is the holy God who judges, the holy God who judges. See this in the next stanza as he speaks of the king who loves justice, establish equity, executed justice, righteousness in Jacob. We see God is a holy God. And as he rules and reigns, he also judges as a holy God. That's exactly what you want in a judge. You do not want a judge who will take a bribe. Because you might be able to bribe the judge to be able to be persuaded in one way, but the other person might have more money and thus be persuaded. Or if he's a crooked judge, why not take both bribes? That's what it means when it says that he is established. Equity, it means this straightness, this non-crookedness is established in the holy God who judges rightly and justly. See that throughout. We saw that in Psalm 96, verse 10, Psalm 98, verse 9, or again in Isaiah chapter 33. Isaiah writes in verse 15, "He who walks righteously and speaks uprightly, who despises the gain of oppressions, who shakes his hands lest they hold a bribe, who stops his ears from hearing of bloodshed and shuts his eyes from looking on evil." That here, there's two types of people. Those who take bribes, who shut their eyes and stop looking at evil, not judging evil. But he judges with equity through executing justice and also executing righteousness. That is, he reigns supreme over all things. Those two things are hand in hand, justice and righteousness. He is just and right. He is just in his judgments. That everyone gets what they deserve. Judges the righteousness. And so we see God reigns, the holy God who reigns. The last thing that we see there is the holy God who answers, particularly his chosen people. The holy God who answers his chosen people. Three men are mentioned here, Aaron and Moses, and then again the third is Samuel. And particularly what is heightened here is that he answers them. Particularly in Moses, in Exodus chapter 33, as as Moses implores the Lord God Almighty and cries out, O Lord, why does not your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, with evil intent did he bring them out to kill them in the mountains and consume them in the face of the earth? Turn from your burning anger and relent from the disaster against your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, I will multiply your offspring as the stars of the heaven, and to this all this land of the I have promised I will give to your offspring, and they shall inherit it forever. The Lord relented from the disaster he had spoken of bringing upon his people. Here Moses cries out from this wrath and justice which is deserved upon the people, and he cries out and he prays, declaring God's character and what he had promised to his people. Turn from your burning anger of this disaster. And he does not then turn and say, turn because they've promised to do better. Turn because they are not in fact guilty. But he turns and says, remember what you promised to your servants. Remember the promise you swore by your own self. The promise said that you would multiply them as the sand of the seashore and the stars of the heaven. The promise which you declared that you would give to them the promised land, that they would inherit it forever. Moses cried out to this holy God, and he answered them. So too with Aaron. In Numbers chapter 16, Aaron took it as Moses said and ran into the midst of the assembly, and behold, the plague had already begun among the people. And he put on the incense and made atonement for the people, and he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stopped. Here Moses cried out, the people are guilty, deserving of wrath and condemnation, judgment and death. And yet Aaron cries out, what is deserved, they do not receive grace. The plague stopped by the one who cries out for the people. And lastly, Samuel. In 1 Samuel 7, verse 9. As the people had committed these gross and heinous sins in the eyes of the Lord, as the glory of God had departed from the temple, Ichabod had come upon them. It worshipped false gods. But in 7 verse 9, so Samuel took a nursing lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. And Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered them. Here we see God delivering his people, the holy, just God, reigning and judging. Also is the God who answers, the man who cries out, who stands in the middle, in the midst of the people. Pillar of the cloud, as they kept his testimonies and his statutes, the Lord answered them. He answered them in two ways, the psalmist describes. See this in verse 8. You were a forgiving God to them, but an avenger of their wrongdoings. But here you see the wrath of God coming down upon the people for their golden calf, for their sins which they committed in Numbers 16. But then also in Samuel, chapter 7, when they'd gone after other gods, the glory of God had departed. He avenged them. He judged them. But he also forgave them. As the man stands in the middle crying out and answering them that they would be forgiven. As David writes in Psalm 32, that blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. The holy, right, and just God does not sweep sin under the rug. It is paid for, atoned for, with the nursing lamb, with Samuel. Serpent on the stick. Moses' cry as a mediator. The blood shed. And it doesn't take long for us then to be able to connect how a holy, just, and righteous God who reigns over all can show forth his answers to the prayers of the man who stands in the middle. What is Christ's words on the cross? Those who deserve God's wrath and judgment poured out in full. Those who have killed an innocent man, shed innocent blood, accused an innocent person. And he cries out in the middle, Lord, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Forgive them. The man in the middle cries out, and the Lord answers him. Forgiveness is found on the one who comes. That a holy, righteous, just God is the God who shows forth through his reign, through his justice, but also through his answers of forgiveness and also the avenging. So then what are we to do? The psalmist quite clearly has, again, three stanzas, three cries out that holy is he, God is holy. But it also gives us a clear application. Right before it says, holy is he in the first stanza, let them praise your great and awesome name. In verse 5, before the psalmist writes, holy is he, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. In verse 9, before it says, for the Lord our God is holy, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain. That as the seraphim cry out day in and day out, so too we must cry out, day in and day out, that holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. We're to praise his great and awesome name, to be able to worship at his footstool, to be able to worship, cry out, bend our knee, worship the God who reigns supreme, the God who is just, the God who is pure, the God who answers our cry and our answers our need for forgiveness and avenges those. And we're to worship at his holy mountain. The psalmist begins and explains that the Lord is great in Zion in verse 2. He reigns over all, and we're to worship him above all, to worship him at his holy mountain. Micah paints a beautiful image of this in Micah chapter 4, verses 1 to 8. As Micah writes of that last day in the highest of mountains where the people truly worship the Lord who reigns supreme, the holy God who reigns and rules justly and righteously. Micah writes, it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of all of the mountains, and it shall be lifted above the hills. The people shall flow to it, and many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples. He shall decide disputes for strong nations far away. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift its sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. But there shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig, and no one shall make them afraid, and the mouth of the Lord host has spoken. For all the peoples walk each in the name of its God, but we shall walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. In that day, declares the Lord, I will assemble the lame and gather those who have been driven away by those who have been afflicted. And the lame will make the remnant and those who were cast off a strong nation, and the Lord will reign over them in Mount Zion from this time forth and forevermore. And you, O tower of the flock, hill of the daughter of Zion, to you shall it come. the former dominion shall come, the kingship of the daughter of Jerusalem. We see that great and glorious day when God truly reigns supreme above all, where every enemy is vanquished, every foe destroyed, the peace descends upon the mountain, where everyone cries out and joyous praise that Lord reigns over all, that the holy God, the thrice holy God, as we saw in this psalm, holy is he, holy is he, the God our Lord is holy. That we cry out, we join with the creatures, the four creatures in Revelation, that we cry out with the elders who bow down and worship this holy God who we worship on his holy mountain. Well, let's go to this holy God in prayer. Let us pray. O gracious and most merciful Father, we give you thanks and praise that you reign supreme above all. Lord, that you are the King of kings, that you are the Lord of lords, that you are the thrice holy God who reigns over all creation, that you judge with righteousness and execute justice, that you, O Lord, are the God who answers the cry, forgiving our iniquities and avenging our wrongdoings, that you, O Lord, are the man who cried out in our gap, our space, to be able to forgive us of our sins. Through Christ Jesus, our Lord and King, we pray in his name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon from Seven Springs Presbyterian Church. If you want to learn more about us, please find us on Facebook or visit us at sevenspringspresbyterian.com. Seven Springs Presbyterian Church began in 1874 and is a congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America located in Glade Spring, Virginia. Please join us for worship on Sunday at 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. for his glory and his gospel.